Hello and welcome to another weekly teaching from Vineyard Community Church, St. Louis.
Well, my wife, she has this bumper sticker. I think it fell off now. Not sure what that means, but it said, she had even replacement says, "Love wins." I love that bumper sticker. It's just so true. But is it? Does love always win? That's the question we're going to talk about today. Like, you know, we look and we kind of know, well, ultimately it does, right? We kind of know at the end, when the kingdom is fully consummated, when this world is gone and all righteousness has pushed out injustice and justice has come in, and we have fear has been replaced with faith and despair with hope and tears are gone and sin is no more, love wins, right? And we get to experience that. But what about love in today, this week, in your life right now? And as we talk in this series of how we love people, is that always a win when we love people? We know that when it's all done, love remains. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is love. That remains, so we know that's where it wins. But how do we live in this world that is far from perfect, and how does love win in that spot? As we say, okay, I want to love my neighbor as myself. I want to love people with the divine love that God's shown me, you know. Can we say it wins? You know, I think about, I tell the stories of the wins. Like my brother was, thank you, my brother right there. Poor guy. He's so tired of being used as an example. Every week, David, can you stop it? But my brother, when I was, he helped me lead me to Christ. And I say the main reason I was won over with his love was God's love. It was because he loved me. I knew I was a goner. When he started loving me and caring for me, I knew it was God, and I could feel it, and it won me over. But the question would be, what if I did not respond? Was that a win or not? Or was that a loss? You know, a pastor friend of mine was teaching this teaching I was listening to, and it was an exciting story about this guy that was a pretty big business guy, owned a number of car dealerships, and he radically came to know Jesus. And he started changing his life. And he's realized, wait a second, the very way we're selling cars is not loving people. It's manipulating people. This is not right. So he said, he changed the whole system. Sales went down, and he went bankrupt. That wasn't the ending you were expecting, was it, right? It's like, no, love wins, right? You know, this place where, you know, I think that, you know, I remember one time my daughter's piano teacher's husband called Debbie and said, my wife's sick, so you have to cancel piano lessons. And she could tell his voice was trembling. And so she said, "Are you okay?" Doesn't know this person. We don't even know their piano teacher very well. And he goes, and he just breaks down. And he says, when they were leaving the ambulance, they kept saying, "I don't think she's not going to make it, we're losing her, and she's been at ICU, they couldn't even get her to Mercy, they had to stop at this hospital before that they didn't want to go to, but she's in ICU, and she's not conscious, and so I was just talking to him. I said, "Well, I thought Debbie should have gone down and prayed for her, but somehow she turned over to me, right?" And so she says, "My husband, when I'm giving him a call?" Yeah. And so I called him and we talked, and he says, "Yeah, I think you can pray for him." He says, my daughter's an agnostic, and she really is not, she hates Christians, but she may not be there." And I said, "Okay." So I went in, and her daughter was there. And so I prayed for her very gingerly, "Come, Holy Spirit, bring your healing." And I could feel the presence of God in the room. I could feel it very tangibly, but nothing. No. Get up and walk, no nothing, right? And so I leave, and they call me back, and they say, "Can you come back?" And I said, "What?" He says, "She after your prayer, she started doing really good, and she's awake now, and I think she wants you. And so I said, okay. So I go back, and I walk in, and the daughter's there, the husband's there, and she's looking at me, and she's whispering something. I lean down, and she's whispering, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. And so I have a lot more faith now. So I pray, and I feel God's presence. I don't see a lot of change, except I feel her peace, and she actually falls asleep, and I think, I don't know if that's good or bad, and I leave. They call me up, and they say, it's amazing, she's in a normal room now. I said, what? And so I said, I got to get down there, man. This is the time. This is why God set this up. And so I go into her room, and she's actually dressed, waiting to get out, sitting in a recliner. And I'm thinking, oh, this is good. And so I start talking to her about Jesus. She wants nothing to do. She will not ever acknowledge anything that happened, right? Nothing. I've never had a conversation since or since. And I'm thinking, was that a win? Right? Well, you know, what we have to understand is God just loves people. And if we're Christians and following Jesus, we're just to love people. And that's a win. He's unconditional. Whether they respond or not. In fact, think about Jesus. He loved people perfectly. Remember when he healed the people with leprosy and only one came back and said, thank you? Remember Judas? Remember the people, all the Pharisees he wanted to gather under his wing like a chick to care for them, and they said they were not willing? Remember the people who hated him, spit on him, and he kept loving them. When we love, the results will vary. And we need to understand that. And we're going to talk about this parable that is very popular and very understood usually by most Christians, the parable of the sower and the seed. And the farmer in this parable who's sowing the seed is us. And we're sowing this thing called the word, and it's going into the soil, which is the hearts of humans. And the soil will determine the amount of growth with the seeds that are sowed. Now, when you hear about the parable and the sower, which most of you, if you've been on church much, you've heard this, and usually, at least in my camps, we're talking primarily about sharing the specific gospel, the good news in a very specific way, sharing truth, which is all absolutely correct in this context of what it's talking about. It's talking about the word. But we have to understand it actually has a much bigger meaning than that. Because when it's talking about the word, it's just this place the seed is what the farmer is sowing, is the word. And the word logos is this place where it's speaking mostly of Christ. It's saying you're speaking Christ. You're speaking that. And that word means expressing the thoughts of the Father through the Spirit. And so I think it applies quite well with what we're talking about in this place in which that when we love people, whether it be in deeds or actions, we look in Jesus all the time. He was always sowing the seeds of logos. He was always a loving people, and the word, the communication of who God was would go out, and people would be affected by that. And so as we look at this, We love in lots of ways, with demonstration, with our words, with our actions, but the ultimate place is we're wanting this thing to happen. We're wanting God's love to come in. We're wanting logos, his word, to go into the heart. We want Jesus to get into the hearts of the people that we're loving. And so as we look at this parable, what I want you to do is I want to imagine, keep yourself in this spot of you are the person who's sowing. And you think about your kids. Think about when you're trying to love your parents. I know it's hard sometimes. And sometimes maybe you're loving your brothers and sisters. Maybe the people at school, your neighborhood, the people around you. How do you think about loving? And when you're loving, you're sowing these seeds. All right? And so I'm going to have Nathan come up and read the passage for us. And then I'm going to just break it down and kind of get some practical understanding what this means.
Mark 4, 3 through 20. Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown."
When you look at a parable, you always want to look at it and realize it's not an allegory, it's a parable. A parable means there's one primary point that God is wanting you to get in most cases. But this is a really unique parable because we have Jesus telling his disciples afterwards, "Oh, by the way, this is what it means." And he goes into some more detail, and not in the primary point, but also specifically how that primary point takes place, which is very unique. And so as we look at this, I think it's really helpful to learn as farmers, like, how do we do this? How do we sow, and what takes place when we sow the seed in love, when we love people as God loved us? Now, the primary point, I think, is when good seeds are sown, the results will vary depending on the soil. That's the prime point, right? And then Jesus goes in and begins breaking this down in this place where helping us understand it. So as we break this down, I love this imagery of the farmer sowing, and because it's very obvious in this parable, which would be caught by most farmers, where this farmer's like seeding everywhere, right? And he's just scattering seed all over the place, right? Rough ground, paths, he's just throwing seed everywhere, right? And then as he's throwing seed everywhere, it's a place in which that you just realize there must be an abundance of seed. I mean, that doesn't seem to be the problem. There's plenty of seed, throw it anywhere you go, you know? And our application is wherever you're at, God is always loving. God is always wanting to communicate to the people around him. And so as we look at that, I think that's where you see the verses like, remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. It's like this farmer's like, hey, I get the principle here. Plenty of seed, the more I sow, the more I get in reaping, in fruit. Now, this is interesting because for us in the vineyard, we talk a lot about John 5. We only do what we see the Father doing. That sounds like I should be dropping a seed here and dropping a seed here and figuring out how to do it exactly right so it has the best production. But that's not what it's saying. This principle, again, the parable is saying, no, loving people and bringing God to people, we just do that wherever we go. Now, he'll give us specifics of how we specifically approach, but in the principle of loving and bringing God's word to people, we just do it everywhere. It's limitless, all right? And as we look through this, as we see that, you know, there's this environment we also see. The environment that this farmer's sowing in is a bit hostile. The seeds may get swooped down and taken by birds. There's places that can't grow. There's rocky soil. There's weeds, right? This is representing the world we live in. If you haven't caught on, we're in a spiritual struggle on this earth. It's not just all good. There's an enemy that comes against us. That's why Jesus starts out by saying, the enemy comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to bring life and bring life to the full. There's this tension going on in our world. You can just feel it and sense it. And so that's where we're sowing at. Now, as we look at these examples, we see, of course, the desire of the farmer is very clear. He wants this seed to root and to produce fruit and produce more seeds. This is Jesus' desire as well, right? And we'd see that in Jesus as people would not receive the seed, it would affect him, right? He would grieve when they didn't. He would be sad that the Pharisees did not receive the word, right? Even though he loved them deeply and wanted to care for them. And so, understanding that, what Jesus goes on to talk about is he begins saying, but when you do this, there's going to be these results. And the first result is the birds came and ate it. Not much happened there. Seed drops on the plant, on the path, it's rock, and the birds come down, it doesn't even root. You know, I remember there was after I gave my life to Christ, I remember there's this gal that talked to me, and she said, remember that time, all those times where I tried to help you understand Jesus and tell you about, you know, trying to get you because I knew your life was a mess? I said, no. I don't remember anything. Don't you remember? It was like high risk for her. It just bounced off. I mean, it just literally just bounced off, right? We've experienced that when it just kind of bounces off. I mean, the Pharisees were a person that just bounced off. He just bounced off. Hardness of heart, it just nothing. Didn't take root at all, right? And he goes on to say, then the seed, sometimes it falls on a rocky place. You know, this rocky place, they hear the word and once they receive it with joy, but the soil is rocky, right? But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Once they take in the seed, it actually has roots and it begins to grow and it's exciting, right? And, you know, as I've looked at this, it's sad, but it's something it helps me a little bit because I'm telling you, if I just took the times in this room where we had people come, some of them had no connection to Jesus, some of them were away from Jesus and came back, all different places, God came miraculously. They were weeping, God was moving, God was talking, they were excited, they were filled with joy, and I don't know where they're at. I don't know. Something happened, right? When many times, and I think this is pretty difficult sometimes, I think, in America, because what it's talking about here is that when trouble comes, and many times in American Christianity, we don't explain enough to say, when you say yes to Jesus in this world, it doesn't just make it all good. There's amazingly good stuff that happens, but it doesn't mean that trouble doesn't come. In fact, you'll experience suffering. You have to understand that's part of it. He tells us, Jesus shows us, but we have in American Christianity this place that knocks us off. And so we say, how could Jesus do this? How could Jesus allow this, right? That's a normal phrase in pain for people, and it begins shaking their roots and drying them up because trouble and expectation was this, and life turned this way. Now, you know, as I think about this, I think, well, all these things, we can see them in others, but we also understand the battle within ourselves, can't we, as we're thinking these things? The third thing, it says, the seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. They got overcome by the weeds. I don't know if you know or not, but this world is filled with weeds. They're sucking the life out of you. They're all around. And there's a place in which that you get overcome by the weeds. And it describes, Jesus gives the answer to give more clarity later on. He says, they hear the word, but the worries of this life, the anxiety, this fear, starts affecting them. And then the deceitfulness of wealth and desire for other things come in, and it chokes out the word, the logos, Jesus. You know, it's interesting, the wording here, you know, with the path, there's no roots that ever took place. In the rocky soil, it actually birthed, had roots, and got withered away and was destroyed and gone. It fell away. Jesus said they fell away. But this one, the indication is, no, they were still a plant. They were still growing. They weren't producing. They were stunned, and they were not being effective. They just kind of blended in with the world, right? I think that's what Jesus talks about when you have a divided heart. It deadens us, and we can't be who God's designed us to be. And then the last one, which we like, the seed fell on good soil. They hear the word, accept it. The roots grow deep, it multiplies. Holy, 30, 60, and 100 times. I mean, it flourishes. It connects with Jesus, and then we connect more with Jesus, and the roots go deeper into Jesus, and they give away more of Jesus, and the roots go deeper into Jesus, they give away more of Jesus, and they love people around them, and it keeps growing because that's what the plant's made to do. It flourishes. And we see that all the time. We love the story. We love it. So I that's what I love about this. My great job is I get to see lots of people. I watch this happen in the most amazing ways, the ways you can't cover up. The people you know are transformed because they keep going deeper in Jesus. When the suffering comes, they go deeper in Jesus, and it grows more and more and more. And the joy comes, they grow deeper in Jesus, and then they begin giving away Jesus more and more. Now, there's a couple things that I just wanted to say in this, is that, you know, as I reflect on this parable, there's a couple of things that it stirs up in me. It stirs up sometimes my own history. And in this place, I look back, and those times I remember God wanting to get to me and bouncing off. I've had a few times the weed grew up pretty big. I started, Jesus wasn't my center focus, and I started dying on the inside and going for other things. I've fought those battles. I've had times where pain and suffering caused me to shut down and not turn to God, but caused me to start turning to other stuff. I've tasted those things, right? I know that's the battle for all of us, right? But God's been faithful and continues to keep loving on me and renewing and starting things over and changing things. But what I really want to focus on primarily as we close up here is this place of us being the farmer, because this is what we're in Love University, of us trying to love others with the love that God has shown us, and thinking about how this looks and looking at this parable. And ironically, you can look at this parable and say, that's depressing. 25% chance of good there, you know? that's how I used to look at it. Like, seems like you'd be more productive than that, Jesus, you know? It's like, and he's saying, it's all, my end's great, right? We're in a valley. So that is the way I used to look at that and think, I hate this parable. It's depressing, right? Your laughter probably tells me you think it's depressing too. But it's actually not depressing to me. It actually allows me to be much more free to love if I really understand what this is saying. It helps me understand this, how much God loves people, and he just doesn't stop. it's endless. You know, you can't run from him. You can't, he just keeps loving you. You go against him, and he loves you a different way. I mean, he is constantly pursuing us. His very character is love, and he wants our character to be that way too. That we love him with all our heart, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. That's it. And it helps me understand that the results vary. I used to get so beat up with, wait a minute. I have a guy that I poured my life into. I took him on road trips. I screwed him up really bad before I became Christian, and I was determined to love him out of it. And he's in life prison, life for murder right now. I just think, what's that all about? Right? But when I look at this and I say, Jesus experienced this, these results. And he didn't stop loving. And he didn't choose who he loved because of that. He says, well, we were productive here. I just kept loving everybody. To me, that frees me to just love. And now the results will vary. And just, I think what it does for me too is that it just takes away false responsibility from me, right? I felt so responsible for people who have not done well. What did I do wrong? What could we have done as a church? What, we know, and to a place that I just forget that I cannot see the heart of a person. I can't. I can't change the heart into a revelation of Jesus, and I can't change myself. I can't have no power of that. To actually realize that's not my job is so freeing, because then I can say, I can't love. And let God, he's the only one who can do the work. And to me, that's just freeing. We can sow in love, in word and deed. We can pray for people, and then we just pray that God will do what he wants. We pray his kingdom to come, but we can't get in there and make a seed grow, but we can love and keep loving. The other thing it does is it makes me feel partnered with Jesus, right? A story I often use is when I did this thing I thought was extraordinarily good for a person, and I gave them some money, and they used it on everything that was not what they should have used it on. Like lots of my money in the savings, I'm ticked at God, right? And I say, you've heard me say the story, I say, what was that about? And he goes, oh, they do it to me all the time. It was just so good to know, oh, we're in this together. We aren't loving for the sake of trying to get something back. We're loving because we love, and there's plenty of it to give, right? It's this place that wasn't Jesus grieved when the Pharisees wouldn't respond to him? Yes. Am I not grieved that my friend's in prison? Yes. But can I fellowship with God in that now? Yes. Because we're in the same world, and he knows exactly what this feels like. And there's something so freeing in this. And it just allows you to partner with Jesus. You know, I think... It's this, is your, the what God wants us to understand is God always does things and rewards us for them. Do you know that? He's not non-rewarding God. He just wants us to have the right rewards. He wants us to have this reward of knowing when we've loved someone, we've pleased him, whether they respond or not. Now, we want the results, right? We desire that, but how are we going to love people like Jesus loved people if we're always looking to say, well, there has to be results? You know, it's not our job. And it's so freeing to know it's not our job. Your greatest fulfillment is knowing you've done, you've partnered with Jesus, and you've done what he's asked you to do, and you've expressed faith and honor to him by giving his love to other people. I put this phrase is, loving others is our food, a good response is our joy. You know, we want the joy of a good response, but our food, the substance of fulfillment, is not how the person responded. And it just motivates me to say, wait a minute, you mean I can just keep throwing seed and it will never stop? And I end up getting rewarded for that, and I partner with Jesus in that, and then I also get to see a lot of growth. Yeah, that's a pretty good deal. God's love wins, always. And his supply is endless.